This is Crime Bench.
So this is episode 2 of Crime Bench.
Welcome to us.
This is us, a dramatic television series that will make you cry endlessly. Have you ever actually watched an episode of that show?
I've watched so many episodes of that
show. So dramatic. Like, it's one of those things I love to hate watch.
Yes.
Because
I love to love
watch. It's just so dramatic.
But I haven't, like, religiously watched it. It's just, like, if I go to my parents' house and it's on the TV, you see. Yeah. I'm like, oh, and then I get into it for an episode.
It's one that, like, I'm pretty sure its only goal is to make you ugly cry every episode.
Oh, yeah.
But
well, did you ever see the episode where fucking
the dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is in the series. Milo whatever dies. Yeah. And Mandy Moore's just like, I watched a behind the scene thing.
Yeah.
And they said that Mandy Moore didn't know what she was going into when she walked in the room and his body wasn't there. And so, like, her reaction was genuine, like, looking for him, basically.
Damn.
And, like, oh.
That's some good-ass acting.
Right? But Mandy Moore is a hot babe.
She really is. You know what's weird, though?
Hmm.
Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but she is Rapunzel in Tangled.
What?
And when they cut her hair to, like, make her entangled, mm-hmm. like, one of my faves, don't fucking at me on that. It's way better than Frozen.
Oh, 100%.
But when they, like, cut her hair and it's short and brown, mm-hmm. literally looks like a cartoon version of Mandy Moore.
That's true.
So, it her. She can sing. She's a real one. It is her, period.
It, period, is, period, her, period.
So, on this week, should we ask each other our little tagline?
Hey, Morgan, on Crime Binge this week, what are you binging?
Ugh, that was so,
I'm so
gross.
Sorry. What are you binging this week?
This week, I am actually binging the artist Lizzo. I think I've played you a couple of her songs. She's currently my fav because, like, I've listened to her music on and off before. But she has this song called Truth Hurts, and it has, I think, one of the greatest lyrics that's ever been written of all time. It is, I just took a DNA test. Turns out I'm 100% that bitch.
Same.
And the confidence that this woman exudes is just not hashtag relatable, because I do not have that confidence, but I would love to be on that level as Lizzo. So she's who I am binging this week, because I've just been listening to her newest album on repeat, and also, like, fucking pumping / bumping, because I think that's what I originally meant to say in an effort to sound hip. Her new song, I think it's called Tempo, with Missy Elliott.
Nice.
Be good.
Have you seen Missy Elliott lately? She, like, went back 30
years. I know, and it's fucking crazy. Like, she reversed age.
Yeah,
it's beautiful,
it
truly
is, but it's rude.
It is very rude. Like, don't be that bitch, you know. What are you binging this week?
So I'm currently panicking.
That's okay. You don't, this isn't high stakes.
It is,
you don't have to panic.
It is the highest of stakes. I would say I'm currently binging, I would say,
I'm trying to break the tension.
Not only, so it's YouTube videos.
Yeah.
But not only ladylike videos, but specifically Sophia Nagard's videos.
Yeah.
I love them.
You
and
are
lately,
a huge fan.
I am. I've been watching all of her, like, weird beauty science where she, like, cuts up 1,000 lipsticks. And she did one where she bought every candle at Bath and Body Works and melted it together.
That's so expensive.
I know.
Were they the 3-wick candles?
They were the 3-wick candles.
Those are like $30 candles.
Yes.
Can you imagine the wealth?
Yeah, she, like, I don't remember what it exactly it was, but it was like at least 120 candles that she bought.
Jesus.
Because she bought like the limited edition, and she went during like Christmas time, so they were all Christmassy.
Yeah.
And, but she's also done like Sephora lipsticks and
nice
stuff like that. And
that's fun.
She's also like a spirit animal because she's a little goth chick, and I've yeah. always wanted to be a little goth chick.
Yeah.
But she's great.
If you ever want to check up on Jenna Marbles,
she's
doing so fucking well.
Is she?
Like, her videos are a fever dream and a half, but I love them. She does this thing where she's just like, I'm just gonna do whatever the fuck I want. And she's like, I'm a 32-year-old woman. And just, like, sings that casually in her songs. Because she's like, I don't fucking care what you have to think about me anymore.
I love when Grace Helbig wears a shirt that says, I am 30 years
old. Yeah. It, like, makes me want to be 30.
Yeah, right? It makes me just want to wear a shirt that says, I'm 30. Which, by the way, to get to know us a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Morgan is 23, and I'm currently 24. Morgan is about to be 24 in T-minus, like, 12 days.
Except, I think if this video comes out in time...
You're already
I'm 24. Already 24! Woo! An age that
Happy
doesn't matter!
Birthday,
Thank
Morgan.
You, friend. Yeah, I'm sure I'll have felt no different.
Your birthday present isn't coming till late May, but...
That's fine. I think I know
already,
what it is.
You already know what it is. It's not released yet.
It's okay. But it's gonna be great.
It is.
I think I'm also gonna get the audio version.
Oh, I bought one for myself, too.
And just listen to it, you know?
Yeah.
Get that free Audible credit.
Shit.
And just listen
to
it.
We need Audible to sponsor us.
Yeah.
And then I can... listen to all the fucking books.
There you go.
To the Jensen and Holes books, too.
I know. I really need to start listening to their podcast. Mm-hmm. I haven't started listening
they
to it yet.
They only have a couple episodes up, though.
I know. And I love to just, like, binge yes. podcasts as well. I listen to an unhealthy amount of podcasts. Also, Sarah is trying so hard not to burp directly into the microphone, and she thinks she's being fucking slick over there, but I can see you.
All I do is fucking burp constantly. Like, I'm not gonna burp when it's your turn to speak. Like, if it's my turn and I have to burp, I'm gonna burp into the mic, but I'm not gonna be a rude bitch.
And take the fucking floor away from me with
also,
your burps.
Morgan can't burp, so
I can't burp.
That. She's fucking weird.
I physically... don't know how, like, the gas gets trapped up in my sternum and I just
and then
like
you release it.
I can't. I try. Taylor's like, you look like you're gonna vomit. Fucking stop it. And I'm like, okay, fine, then I won't. Anyways, yeah, let's this week on episode 2 we are covering a Florida killer.
Yeah, Florida's first serial killer. Don't you air quote me.
I don't know, man. There's always someone who came before them.
I googled Florida's first serial killer and this fucking came up.
And this is Gerard Schaefer, if you don't know. And he's a killer cop.
Yeah. And, I mean, we got a lot of information from Murderpedia. And, surprisingly, the criminalmindsfandom.com had a great amount. Because they had, like, this great... biography about this is honestly just as good as the Murderpedia was.
Yeah, my sources on the other hand were largely Wikipedia, and also it was actually a great website, so do not come for me, but a look into the world of serial killers and other murders .wordpress.com.
That's me makes the longest fucking
so let's we should probably get on with Gerard Schaefer.
All right.
All right, Matthew McConaughey. So we're, because we actually know who this person is, we're yes. going to be giving you some background information. So we're kind of going to go like literally from his childhood all the way up until being a full ass adult.
A full ass murdering adult.
Would you like to start with that, or would you like to do his two hitchhikers later?
I will start.
Okay.
So, Gerard Schaefer's life growing up. He was actually born in Wisconsin and raised
Wisconsin?
Shut up.
I've been drinking. She's had one drink.
This is number two?
This is number two. We are lightweights, though.
Yeah.
We're very small people. We're 5'2".
Yeah. So he was born in Wisconsin, raised in Atlanta, Georgia. But he was born on March 25th, 1946, to Gerard and Doris Marie Schaefer. They then moved to Atlanta, where he was raised. And as a child, Gerard was the child, the murderer, not his dad.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's Gerard Jr.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should just nickname him Jr. for the rest of this.
Ooh, good idea. That would piss him off. Because he fucking hated his father.
Yes.
He's also, I believe, the oldest of the three children.
Yes,
so he's got that older children syndrome.
And so as a child, he was described as turbulent and conflictual. He didn't want to do nothing with nobody. He says that his father was verbally abusive and alcoholic and often away from home, but I think these are just fucking excuses.
And also, like, so many people in the world have shitty parents and don't end up murdering. So
exactly.
You can't use it as a fucking excuse. I'm sorry.
Like, I mean, a lot of people that do murder have shitty parents. But also go to fucking therapy like the rest of us.
Yes. Everyone in the world should use some therapy. Yes,
should go to therapy. I've been saying that for years that I should go, but
I have not seen my therapist in close to a year because everything is fine. In that meme where the dog is in the home burning down.
Everything's fine. But he thought of himself as an illegitimate child and thought that his parents didn't want him because he knew that his dad always wanted a girl, where he got a girl after Gerard was born, but he was just like, my parents don't like me, they prefer my sister, la-di-da-di-da, bitch, bitch, bitch.
Which, like, maybe they prefer your sister because she's not fucking weird. Like, he was a weird psychopath. Kid. He was not a good kid.
So then he moved with his family to Fort Lauderdale in Florida in 1960. And he was disturbed even at a young age. He used to steal women's underwear. He would tie himself to trees, thought about dying. He hunted and killed animals for pleasure. He cross-dressed.
Which, like, doesn't inherently make you disturbed. It was just the way he went about it, which was disturbing.
Combined with all the other things.
Yeah.
But a quote from him was, he said, I'd tie myself up to a tree and I'd get excited sexually and do something to hurt myself. Why? Later, he also claimed that he cross-dressed solely to avoid the Vietnam War during the draft.
But, like, as a small child, you were doing that to avoid the draft?
Exactly.
Like, I don't understand why that was his claim, but it was. It was a claim he made.
So, his poor girlfriend.
His first...
Yes.
Seeming, I think it was his first girlfriend.
So her name was Cindy, and they met when she was 14, and they dated for 3 years. And they broke up in 1963, and I understand why, because Gerard would make Cindy role play with him and would rip off all her clothes, That's expensive as fuck. Anyways, would rip off all her clothes.
How do you explain that to your parents when you're 14 years old? Like, why my clothes are ripped?
And make her pretend that he was raping her. Like, you know, the saying, everyone has sexual fantasies.
Yeah.
And rape fantasies or whatever. Like, but actually making your significant other be like, I'm going to rape you even if you enjoy it.
Yeah.
Is not okay.
And like... they're just so young. Wait until you're both, like, older until you start doing these fantasies that could be potentially harmful to your future, like, sexual growth.
Yeah.
You know?
And so, after high school, he went to FAU, which I did apply and get into.
Oh, look at you go.
Did not go to it because I was broke. But Florida Atlantic University, go Owls, during which time he got married. And he married Marta Fogg in 1969 while he was in school.
LOL. Ayo,
same year that a bunch of other people were killed from our last episode.
Yeah. 69 was a great year.
Yeah.
For serial killers and also for other things. Ayo. I'm sorry. That wasn't funny.
And then she filed for divorce in May of 1970, citing extreme cruelty as the reason for the divorce.
Which, like, in those times, you had to have an excuse like that. Like, yeah, infidelity. Like, and, like, she could file for divorce because he was an extremely violent person.
So, do you want to talk about him as an adult?
Sure. So, as an adult, he became a teacher at Plantation High School, but only lasted weeks due to inappropriate behavior, very similarly to our last guy as well. This inappropriate behavior has been cited as him trying to either impose his own moral and political values on his students, which he said in, like, something I read was the reason he wanted to become a teacher, was he was like, I think kids today don't have any morals, and I want to impose my moral compass on them. You're a serial killer, my guy.
In high school, I had a teacher who wrote his own textbook and us learn from his own textbook.
Is it Shaq?
No, it was Kalahar.
Oh.
The psychology teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, he was terrible. And he was like, disregard everything that the regular book tells you that you've learned already. We're going to teach you my way with my textbook. I wonder why I didn't pass the fucking AP exam, because I didn't learn anything from their goddamn textbook.
Yeah. Also, our school was wild. We had a teacher who actively, a science teacher, who actively taught students that the moon landing was not real.
Who was that?
It was a woman. I forget her name. She was married to another teacher at the school.
Oh, Hartman?
Yeah. I think it was her.
She saw him the other day.
Mr. Actively Hartman. Taught people that the moon landing was not real, and it took place in a studio theater.
Same.
Yeah. It was wild, y'all. But to go back, the second claim that he was, like, let go was that it was due to sexual harassment of female students. Oh, sorry. That was me trying to burp and it wouldn't come out. I think it was probably a combination of both. Like, he was probably being real fucking creepy to the students and probably also was just insane and was ranting about shit and didn't, like, it didn't work out. So when this didn't work out, he tried to become a Catholic priest, and he was raised Catholic, like, severely Catholic. Are you Snapchatting me?
No.
Okay. Because I have a double chin right now. And according to Schaefer, he was rejected from being a Catholic priest because he was told he didn't have enough faith, which, I mean, like, whatever, then you shouldn't be a Catholic priest. And this angered him deeply, and he decided to quit the Catholic Church despite being raised in it. He was like, hell to the nah, I don't care about Catholic Church anymore, I'm Audi 3000. That was such a sentence I just said. Just disregard everything other than the factual evidence that he did not become a pastor.
Catholic priest,
yeah. So now, after having two career failures, he decides the next logical thing is to become a police officer, because what else do you do when nothing else works out other than become a police officer? He applied for several different departments and was rejected by Broward County Sheriff's Office after failing a psychological test. And then he was hired by Wilton Manors Police Department despite having failed his psychological test. They were, like, a really small department from what I found and just, like, needed people. So There we go. So while he was at the Wilton Manors Police Department, he earned a... Sorry. My cat just walked into the room, Sula, screaming lightly. Oh, she wants to say hi.
Hello. Oh, you're going to scroll? No, no, come back.
Come here. Come here. Okay, fine. Fuck you. But he earned a commendation? What is that word I'm looking at?
I think it's commendation.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought, but I just feel stupid for some reason right now.
So he was commended for doing something.
Yeah, you're right. So this is all going to have to get cut because is just me rambling. Hi. While at the Wilton Manors Police Department, he earned a commendation for his role in a drug bust, but just 1 month later is fired. Is Lorna in the litter box and is she fucking with her? She literally lies in wait on top of the litter box while Lorna is taking a shit.
Oh, no.
Just to attack her.
No, she was on top of it and then went to put her head in it. And I thought she was going to crawl in like upside down and just fucking drop
like
into it.
Like a Spider-Man
but
cat?
She's just like exploring it right now.
I completely like cleaned it today.
She's
and
like,
filled
where's
new
all
litter.
The shit?
Yeah, she's like, where is my nasty shit?
Yeah. Let's just start the previous sentence over.
Jesus, I've tried to say this four times.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault. I'm just like on one right now. So, while at Wilton Manors Police Department, he earned a commendation for his role in a drug bust, but just 1 month later is fired. So, if you'll notice a common theme with all of these jobs, he's there for a few months at most before he's fired or rejected.
Yeah.
He can't hold a job down. And his reasons for being fired from this department vary. Chief Bernard Scott simply states he didn't have an ounce of common sense, which, like,
same.
Me as fuck. While ex-FBI agent Robert Reisler, I wrote that name wrong because I wrote it correctly later on, Robert Reisler reports he was fired for using personal information he obtained when females violated traffic laws and were pulled over, then used this information to ask these women on dates.
When you can't get dates on your own, so you have to pull them over and get their information. And
yeah.
Like, I won't give you a ticket if you go on a date with me.
Like, and he abused his power so much. Like, that's going to be such a common theme throughout this. He's basically just a piece of shit. So, after being fired, he moves on to Marlin County and becomes a deputy sheriff there despite having failed a psychological test and being fired.
Wow.
Because the police department has always been corrupt, I guess. Don't know. I love the police who are doing good, by the way. I'm not out here shitting on police. But
just shitty police.
A lot of what happened in the 60s and 70s in police departments is insane to me.
And not great.
No, just not good at all.
I was going to say, do you want to do this since you know this one better and I know the other one better?
If you want, yeah, that's fine. I can do that.
Okay.
So on July 21st, 1972, Schaefer spots two teenage girls, Pamela Wells, who is 17, and Nancy Trotter, 18, hitchhiking in Stuart, Florida. He stops them and informs them that hitchhiking is illegal, which it isn't in, is it Martin County?
Let's find out.
Or Marlin County?
Let's find out. Do, 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 do.
Beautiful. Do, do. Keep it going. Do, yeah. Do.
All right, so it is Martin County.
All right. It's Martin County.
And it's just to the right of Lake Okeechobee.
Oh, okay. So, again, he's pulling women over pretty much illegally just to, like, talk to them. And just is fucking with people because he doesn't actually know how to get a woman's attention other than doing so via being a cop. He tells the girl to get into his car and he will take them back to the halfway house that they were staying at. When I read this, I'm pretty sure they'd only been in town for like 2 days.
Those poor girls.
Yeah. And once he gets them home, he offers to give them a ride to the beach the next day. And they agree because they're young and this is a young officer. So they trust him. He's like 25 years old at this point. He's not very old at all. And he shows up and rather than taking them into like or taking them to the beach, big surprise, he takes them to the woods. And when he gets there, he immediately pulls out a gun and he's like, get the fuck out. We're doing this. And he handcuffs them and what the fuck are my notes? Handcuffs and gas them.
Same. He just farts right in their face. And it's the worst form of torture.
He handcuffs them while threatening to kill them or sell them into prostitution. His words, not mine. We all know it's sex workers now. But those are his threats if they don't cooperate. He ties them to a tree with a noose around their neck. And he leaves them to, like, balance on the roots of this tree. So if they slip, they're going to hang themselves, essentially. Which is so fucked up and, like, how horrifying would that be?
Yeah, you have to use all your strength.
Yeah. And he gets a call over his radio and has to leave. And he's just like, I promise I'll be back soon, girls. Like, he's so casual.
But do you think he's, I promise I'll be back? Or, like, I promise I'll be back?
I don't know. He could be, I feel like it's a little bit of both. Like he's trying to keep them calm but also like fuck you, I will do something. And while he is gone, they miraculously manage to free themselves and get to the nearest police station, which ironically also happens to be the one that he works at. And like why would you do that so fucking close to where you work,
right? But, I mean, if he's on the job at the time, like, then he can't be far away from his work.
Yeah, that's true. That makes sense. Schaefer returns to the spot, and he sees that the girls have disappeared, and he instantly is like, fuck, I fucked up, because he knows he's close to work.
Yeah.
And he thinks that he can get himself out of trouble, and he calls the police station to talk to his captain, and he's like, hey, I did something really dumb, but, like, I can explain everything. And when he gets there, he tries to claim that he only pretended to kidnap the girls to show them how dangerous hitchhiking was and that he only threatened to kill them because he wanted them to understand that he was being serious and, like, hitchhiking is a bad thing to do. Which, like, there are other ways. You don't have to fucking pretend to kidnap them and tie them to a tree.
Fucking put them in jail for a day and they won't kidnap again.
Well,
or kidnap again.
But he couldn't because it's not illegal in Martin County. He was just using that as a ploy to fucking pick them up. And Schaefer's boss, thankfully, didn't buy this. He was like, no, that doesn't make any sense. Also, that's not how you do police work. So also, fuck off.
You fucking hung these women
from
a tree.
So he's stripped of his badge and charged with false imprisonment and assault. His...
You burped.
I burped, guys. This is just gonna be like...
Morgan burps for the first time.
It was so schmall, too.
It was schmall.
It was schmall. That's extra small.
It came over so clear in the headphones, so I loved it.
His bond was sent at $15,000. He posted bail and was released, so he was out of there. And all of this happens within a month of him being at this new fucking job. Like, he can't... You can't wait. Like, you know how every job is like...
First.
If you... if we like you after 90 days, we'll keep you on. Like, at least wait your 90 fucking days before you start kidnapping women.
Right? Can't even control himself. But so just 2 months later.
While he is out on bail. Let's just remind everyone of that. My cat is going absolutely insane right now, and I don't know why.
She's
freaking me out.
She is. Go out on the porch, Azula.
Yeah, the door is open. Unless the door accidentally closed and you're trying to inform me like Lassie that Lorna is stuck outside.
Probably. Lorna hasn't been in here in a while.
That's true.
Anyways, screw the cat.
There she is.
Oh, she's not stuck outside.
She's not stuck outside.
So just 2 months later, on September 27th of 1972. This cat is ridiculous. Anyways, on September 27th of 1972, he abducted, tortured, stop yawning.
I'm so sorry.
And murdered Susan Place, who was 17, and Georgia Jessup, who was 16. So the girls were last seen leaving their house with an older man named Jerry Shepherd to play guitar on the beach. So again, the whole going to the beach, ending up in the woods.
Yeah.
Like, it was a ruse, and it was a common one.
Which also, like, don't let your teenagers...
I can hear that
like
crazy.
This?
Yeah.
Don't let your teenage daughters go anywhere with an older man that you don't know.
Exactly.
Why is this happening? This is so absurd.
She's just trying to talk in the microphone.
I guess so, but like, you need so much attention, my guy. How
That's
do people
so
have
chill.
Kids?
Oh, she's gonna...
Well, good thing that was a water bottle rather than a cup, because she just knocked that right the fuck over.
Of course.
We might have to start, like, closing the door so they can't fuck with us during this.
They're just gonna yell at the door, though.
That's true, because this is where one of the litter boxes is, their preferred room for shitting.
Yeah.
Okay, go on to the serious matter at hand of murdering small girls.
Okay, so... The girls were last seen leaving to go to the beach. And, again, the same ruse. The girls never return, but Susan's mother was at least kind of fucking smart.
Yeah.
And she got his license plate number. But by the time it was traced back to Shaver's car, he was already in jail.
For the first thing
For
he did.
For the first fucking murder.
Wasn't a murder. It's okay.
You're right. He murdered these people. But Schaefer denied the accusations, but skeletal remains of the girls were found and identified. So the girls were tied to the tree, to a tree.
Yeah.
Similar to the other ones, and butchered. And Susan had been shot in the jaw.
Which, like, back then, I don't think they had, whatchamacallit, like... You know how now police officers, like, if they shoot off their gun, it has to be filed?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they had that back then. That, so, yeah. Like, I wonder if he even used his... No, because he was already stripped of his badge at this point.
That's
Never true. Mind. Dumb point. It's just me making shit up at this point. So, on April 7th of that year, police raided Schaefer's mother's house. And I also, like, go into this a little bit more later when I talk about other suspects, but they uncovered writings and sketches depicting murders of young women, which I saw some of them, and they're very gross and they're very graphic. Two newspaper clippings of two women missing since 1969, women's jewelry, and pieces of two IDs that belong to missing hitchhikers Colette Goodenough. And
I want my last name to be good enough.
Same. I just want to be good enough.
It's like that one person that I helped frame something, and his last name was De Grand Champ.
I love that last name. I framed for someone whose last name was Sun and Shine.
Yes.
It's not actually how it's pronounced, I think. It's very German, but I love it.
Yes.
Sorry. Oh, I was talking, not you. So they belong to hitchhikers Colette Goodenough and Barbara Wilcox. They were both 19, This is Sarah's note, by the way.
Also, teeth. They literally found human teeth.
Which is true. They did find teeth, which is fucking nasty. And, like, stop keeping treasures of your victims. Like,
that's
I'm not trying.
That's the easiest way to get caught.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you're a serial killer or a murderer, just do it so you can get caught. But, like, why would you do that? Other evidence was found over time as well. Items of jewelry and a gold tooth belonging to a waitress named Carmen Halleck. Jewelry belonging to Schaefer's neighbor who had gone missing. Leigh Bonadies. Her skeleton was found. I actually literally listed all of this stuff later when I went into descriptions of them, but you're just going to have to hear us repeat it. Jewelry belonging to 14-year-old Mary Briscolina, who disappeared with her 13-year-old friend, Elsie Farmer, and both of their skeletons were found. Do you want to do this? Okay.
And so even though there was incriminating evidence against him for multiple crimes, Schaefer was only charged for the murders of Susan Price and Georgia Jessup. So he was convicted on 2 counts of first-degree murder and received 2 concurrent life sentences for him. So basically, they wanted to get him for all of the other crimes, mm-hmm. but, like, since they definitely had him on these crimes, they were like, it's not worth it to bring him back into the public to have a chance to defend himself and go to trial again.
Yeah.
So they just dealt with the 2 life sentences. He was going to be behind bars for the rest of his life.
And this happens, like, a lot. And I understand, like, I totally do. Because also, if you try and do all of them at once, if you can't convict them, like, kind of the whole case is void. But also, at the same time, like, those families don't get closure.
That's true.
Which, like, to me is the really sad part of it. But I understand why. It just kind of sucks.
But the good thing is, he tries to appeal at least 20 times, but was shut the fuck down every single time.
He tries to do so much fucking bullshit while in jail.
Yes.
I hate him. He's so stupid.
So his wife only visited him once in prison, and it was to, in fact, deliver him divorce papers.
Which, like, what a boss-ass bitch. That's what I love that.
Do. Yeah. So some of the shit he did while he was in jail. Schaefer spent his time in jail setting up schemes to get money from people by posing as a female, sending nudes. He,
which, like, hold on. How did he do this?
Okay, so I kind of condensed it in our notes.
No, I know, but what I'm picturing, I'm going to let you tell me the real thing, but what I'm picturing is, you know, when you try and fuck with your friends and you, like, squeeze your knee together and take a picture of your knee and you're like, that's my butt. Have you ever done that?
It's exactly what he did.
Okay.
No. So he got his, like, friends that surprisingly he had outside of jail to place ads in newspapers saying that he was a 14-year-old girl.
Jesus Christ.
And that he would send nudes to men that first sent money.
Oh, okay. So it was just like a scheme.
Yeah. So that was like a scheme to get money.
Okay.
But he also liked just fucking with people because he would send letters to other prisoners pretending to be a woman falling in love with him. And then he would use the information he learned about his other convicts against them, and he even sent one of them to death row.
Nice.
But while in jail, he also made friends with Ted Bundy and Otis Toole, which are 2 prolific serial killers.
Yeah.
And
that's ridiculous.
Like, of course you'd make friends with them.
Yeah. And while in jail, he also began filing frivolous lawsuits, which these are so fucking funny to me because, like, how petty do you have to be? So he tries to sue 1 crime writer for daring to describe him as being overweight in his writings about him. So he was just, like, so butthurt about being called overweight that he tried to sue someone. Obviously didn't win. He also tried to sue, these are all co-writers on 1 book, Colin Wilson, Michael Newton, and former FBI agent who we heard from before, Robert Ressler, for describing him as a serial killer. That's what you were, though.
Yeah, you killed multiple people.
Yeah. These lawsuits were also thrown out. He also wrote, like, macabre stories.
The fuck is a macabre story?
Like, a grotesque one.
Okay.
That was another big word to describe it, but...
I know what grotesque means, yeah. though.
So some of these were suspected of being real accounts, while others were just fantasy. In one story, just simply titled Whore, he recounts hanging a sex worker and having sex with her corpse. And with her Marine Corps. And he also had a series of stories about a rogue cop who moonlights as a serial killer targeting sex workers. Huh. Sounds wow. oddly familiar.
Yeah. I bet he also says he's going to take them to the beach.
Yeah. And in these writings, he claimed to have started murdering women as early as 1965 when he was only 19. And this is another good one. So during high school, Schaefer dated another young woman that we didn't really hear about earlier, but her name was Sandra London. Years later, she became a true crime author and got in touch with him following his conviction in 1989. And when I'm first reading this, I'm like, fuck yeah, she's kind of like Anne Rule, like, yeah. becomes a crime writer, like, to fight against crime. No, she's a bad person. She published Killer Fiction, which included short stories and drawings found in Schaefer's home after his arrest.
But how did she get that, honestly?
She befriended him, so I think that he, like, gave them to her, honestly. Or, like, she contacted the police somehow. I have no idea. But she did. And then she followed this up with a book cleverly titled Beyond Killer Fiction.
Wow.
Yeah. And here's where she becomes a bad person. Sandra and Schaefer were actually briefly engaged in 1991 after he's already in jail serving two concurrent life sentences. But she broke it off with him, leaving him for another Florida serial killer, Danny Rowling, also known as the Gainesville Ripper.
Which we will definitely do.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to cover him, like, hashtag that Florida life. And Schaefer did not take this rejection well, as one would expect, and begins sending her death threats. And he also tried to sue her 3 times for stealing his work, but didn't win. Like, once you're in jail, why are you allowed to keep fucking suing people for stupid shit?
I mean, it's just, he had to have spent his own money on his own lawyers and stuff, so.
I guess, but. It's so annoying.
It is. So, here are his other suspected victims. They're obviously not all of them, and these are where you'll kind of hear some of the evidence that was found earlier. So, the first one is Lee?
I think it's Lee, yeah. Okay,
would be Lee Hainline Bonadies in 1969. So, she is Schaefer's former neighbor, and she disappeared. She was married to a guy named Charles, and they had a rocky relationship. And Lee announced that her childhood neighbor, Schaefer, called and offered her a job with $20,000 salary, and her husband laughed at this idea.
Which, like, at the time was a really good salary.
Yeah, like...
Especially for a woman.
Yeah, in the late 60s.
Yeah.
So,
oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just to note, this is a job with the CSI that he's offering her.
Well, that was fucking fake because he never had a job with the CSI. But, so, he came home to find a note from Lee saying she had gone to Miami to speak with Schaefer about the job. So.
Which is also Broward County, for those of you who are not in Florida, which is where he did some of his other bullshit.
Yeah, Broward County is, basically is right above Miami and has Fort Lauderdale City inside of it where he started his murders.
Yeah.
I know a lot about Broward County now from my new job. So Lee's brother called and was told a bizarre story. Apparently, she had called and asked Schaefer for a ride to the airport because she was flying to Cincinnati and wasn't sure of the departure time. So she would call back with the info, and he never heard from her.
That was just the last he heard from her. He's never saw anything since then.
Lee's car was then found in a parking lot in Fort Lauderdale. And her body was found later, and some of her jewelry was found in Schaefer's home once it was searched.
Yeah. Do you want to also do Carmen, and then I'll do Elsie?
Okay. So, Carmen Marie Hollick was also in 1969. She was a 22-year-old waitress, and she called her sister-in-law and told her she had an appointment with a male teacher from a local junior college that evening. And this unidentified teacher claimed to have some undercover work for the government and could possibly get her a job, which, again, he's just bullshitting.
This was, like, his MO. When he wasn't an actual cop, he was just, like, pretending that he was one.
Yeah. And so her sister-in-law didn't hear from her afterwards and went to see her at her apartment.
On Christmas Day, by the way.
Ooh.
Yeah, so not a good Christmas.
No. Her skeletal remains were found in 1978. I missed a whole bullet.
That's okay.
But, so, when her sister-in-law went to her apartment, her car keys, driver's license, and vehicle registration were missing. And then, later, her skeletal remains were found. And a gold tooth and a shamrock pin belonging to her were found during the search of Schaefer's house, and clippings about her disappearance were also found.
So there are obviously a lot more, like, victims in this, but the last one we're going to talk about today is Elsie Lena Farmer, who is 14, and Mary Alice Briscolina, who is 14 as well, and they disappeared in 1972. And this is really sad because Elsie's parents reported her the very next day. They were like, my daughter is missing, and reported her. Mary's parents waited an entire week, thinking that she had just, like, run away from home.
That's so sad.
And on January 17th, 1973, Elsie's skeletal remains were found. And then on... I'm not laughing... at this, my cats are currently wrestling each other. This is going to be a cat-heavy episode. Like, because we've been in here for so long, they now need attention and are just, like, playing. Look at how Azula slowly cocks her head like a fucking psychopath. She creeps me out while she does it. Look at her. It's so creepy. Okay, so on January 17th, 1973... Elsie's skeletal remains were found, and then on February 15th, about 200 yards away, Mary's remains were also found. I combined remains so and found. Bless you.
Thank you. Sorry.
A piece of jewelry belonging to Mary was also found during the search of Schaefer's home, so this is why we think it was...
I'm so sorry.
She just was so stupid looking. Like, you have no idea.
Oh, yeah. I really want to read this quote.
Yeah, you can do that. That's why I, like, wanted to do Elsie. Because And also, do you want to do Schaefer's death so I finish up with Florida Man?
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to just read this one last line.
Yeah.
And a piece of jewelry belonging to Mary was also found during the search of Schaefer's home, which is why they think... this was another one of his victims. Let's be honest, really not think they knew, but, like, they didn't convict him of this one.
So, Schaefer had to send many letters to attorneys, acquaintances, trying to appeal, and everything else. So, after he'd been in jail for a while, he wrote this letter, and it's a little graphic, but he says... On January 20th of 1991, he states, "As you know, I've always harped on District Attorney Robert Stone's list of 34. In 1973, I sat down and drew up a list of my own. As I recall, my list was just over 80. The next day, given more time to reflect, Schaefer went on, I'm not claiming a huge number. I would say it runs between 80 and 110. But over 8 years and 3 continents, one whore drowned in her own vomit while watching me disembowel her girlfriend. I'm not sure if that counts as a valid kill. Did the pregnant ones count as 2 kills? It can get confusing.
He's such a fucking piece of shit. And yeah. You know what's crazy? When I was like researching the stories that he would write, mm-hmm. there is one where he says one whore, like he killed a whore while she drowned in her vomit and disemboweled her girlfriend while she was watching.
That's fucking disgusting.
Yeah. Like the pregnant one really fucks me up. Yeah, like fuck you.
Does it count as 1 or 2?
Yeah. Like, you know what you're doing, you little bitch.
But here we go. Best part of the story. Schaefer fucking dies.
Yeah,
he ain't alive no more, motherfucker. So he actually died the year you were born.
I know.
Shortly after you were born. So
I was just a wee one.
Yes. An infant. 1995. Including being stabbed in the eyes and he had a throat slit. Some say it was because of an argument over a cup of coffee. But many speculate that it had deeper meaning, mainly because Schaefer was a snitch.
Which, like, didn't he send one of his friends to death row?
Yeah.
So it's more likely that it was because he was a snitch.
And then at the time of his death, a Fort Lauderdale homicide detective was preparing to file charges against Schaefer for 3 unsolved murders just to ensure he never got out of prison.
Which, like, he already had 2 concurrent, like, life, but he kept sentences.
Trying to appeal.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes, like, they can murderers get out of jail before fucking drug dealers.
That's true, because marijuana is definitely something we should keep people in jail for the entire lifetime.
So, and lastly, in an ironic twist on his death, he was killed on his mother's birthday. His family sees this kind of as a sign of their mother telling him the turmoil that he put them through was finally over. It's just kind of funny to me.
Yeah, like, it is. It's just kind of funny. But I guess his sister, Deborah, was just like, it's a sign from mom being like, fuck this guy, finally.
Well, yeah. Like, he... like, even in jail, was just doing so much unnecessary shit.
Yeah, like, he just constantly needed attention. Mm-hmm. And that's what all of these people need. Like,
honestly, like, I can see why his family didn't fucking like him.
So since today has been such a cat-heavy episode, and you might not even realize this because most of it will likely be cut out, but... for our Florida Man story today, I'd like to bring you one about cats.
Yes.
This one honestly fucking creeps me out so much, but it's also very funny.
Great.
So, Florida Man breaks into woman's home to pet family cat.
Me.
A Florida woman said she was startled when she woke up last month to find her neighbor petting her cat.
Okay.
I could see the shadow of a man standing at the end of my bed. Klein said she was asleep in her St. Petersburg home, so very close.
Yeah, about an hour away.
When her cat jumped off the bed and woke her up. There was a man crouched down at the foot of my bed petting the cat. He wasn't even looking at me. Klein said the man got away, but he returned Wednesday morning to pet the cat again.
But, like, did he knock on the fucking door this time?
I don't know, but it says this time Klein was ready for him, as were police, because she had already called the police and let them mm-hmm. know. And he comes back. This time he's arrested on charges of burglary and resisting an officer without violence, but he still resisted arrest because he's like, I'm just trying to pet this cat.
I've got a good story that's pretty similar to that. One time, my neighbor that lives across the street, it was like 3 a.m. and my neighbor worked the night shift, so he was like up, and he was like sitting on the couch watching TV, And he hears his front door open and close at like 3 a.m. Keep in mind, he didn't lock his door like a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But he, like, thought maybe his wife had gotten up, whatever. And so a couple minutes later, he looks behind him and there's a guy just standing in his fucking, like, family room, because it was, like, in the back room. Like, at your house, how you have a separate room in the back.
Yeah.
So...
at my family home.
Yeah.
Not my current home. Don't come for me, please.
And he looks up and he's like, what the fuck are you doing? And the guy was just drunk and had just literally wandered into a bunch of doors for your Halloween party while wearing a panda head. So, like, people were just answering their doors while he's wearing a panda head. And he's like, oh, this is not the right house.
Yeah. It was, yeah. Just don't. Yeah. Just know where you're going.
Knock first.
Knock first and make sure you know where you're going.
Honestly.
Well, that was episode 2 of Crime Binge. We did it.
Also, we still need you guys to send us your listener episode or your story so we can do listener episodes.
Because we'd love to hear from you. Yeah. We have a, not great because that's a horrible way to describe it, but we have a very sad hometown murder.
We do.
That's really close to us. And we're going to cover it eventually, maybe on our first listener episode to kind of like kick it off. Or, I don't know, I think we kind of want to do a full episode about it, right?
I think because we want to honor talk her. Enough to do a full episode about it.
So we're going to cover that. We're not going to tell you because we're going to keep it a secret. But, yeah, send us your stories to crimebinge@gmail.com. And then
we also have an Instagram and a Twitter right now. We'll be trying to get more stuff later.
Yeah, like a Facebook page or something.
For now, our Instagram is at Crime Binge Podcast. And our Twitter is at Crime Binge. And so, pretty simple. Just look for the icon with the brown hair girl and the blonde hair girl.
Yeah, that's us. We're so cute.
In our cute little detective jackets.
I know, that was such a cute little idea Val had. We obviously have never done this before, and we contacted our friend Val, and we're like, hey, we have this idea for a podcast. Can you help us out? And she was like, I have an idea. What if we put you in detective jackets? Yes. And we were like, holy shit, yes. Please put us in the detective jackets. We're going to list her info down below, too. Give her, like, check her out. She's awesome. Yeah. And
she could definitely come up with some ideas for you if you need any ideas.
Yeah, and, like, who doesn't want to have a cute little cartoon of themselves?
Exactly.
I think I made this podcast just so I could have a cartoon of myself. I don't know why, but I think that's the real reason.
Same. They're adorable.
They are. Well, we'll see you on our next episode, everyone.
All right, and there it is.
Keep on binging.
It's been that crime binge.
Look at us go. We fucking got two done today.